The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning, and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fell, who's the Regional Director of Patient Care Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance for A&T Healthcare. Ann, could you please give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, Ann, I like that. I like that sound. You're really turning it up. I like that. And joining us this morning, we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Melinda Burgard, and she's a certified music therapist as well as a New York State licensed creative art therapist. And she's going to be talking to us about music therapy. Melinda, could you give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning, everybody. So glad you're out there listening.
Okay. We have a great show. We're all excited about doing it. A&T Healthcare, we're a home healthcare agency. We have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City. And our corporate office is in New City. I'm sorry. I get twisted say New York City and New City. That's our corporate office. But we are in A&T Healthcare. We're very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday morning on health-related topics and subjects. As I always say, we're not controversial, contentious, or confrontational. However, we are engaging, informative, and I want to say we're entertaining. So you can listen and learn and smile as you go along the way. We do accept questions on topics that are presented. The phone number that you can reach us at is 845-651-1110. That's 845 area code 651-1110. If you have any questions or any comments that you'd like to say on today's program, and as I always like to thank you all for making us a part of your Thursday morning. Okay, let's go over a couple of things. And Facebook, we're still stressing Facebook. This is the social media. You have to do it. I mean, everything. It's so much a part of our society that, but as I said, A&T, you can follow us on Facebook. We have a lot of wonderful topics. We do talk about our different things. So it really is a very informative way where you can find out what's happening. Before we get started, I just wanted to give a quick topic. This is something, as you know, at Health Matters. We do have little topics at the beginning that might have happened over the last couple of weeks. And as we always stress, this is something that you would be discussing with your doctor, talk about. But what it was is that there's this Center for Disease Control and Prevention down in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. They're coming out that they want the doctors to try to avoid prescribing opiates for chronic pain. Okay, now this is somewhat controversial. I know Dr. Thomas Fried, who I did work with many, many years ago when I was at St. Clair's Hospital, but what they were saying is that they're urging, like, you know, the doctors to avoid prescribing powerful opiates, painkillers for patients with chronic pain. So this is a major diversion, and as I always stress, this is something that we have to talk about. It is very controversial. I know we're not controversial, but we're just relaying the information that's there, but that is something that we would want to discuss with
Because of the long-term effects, I'm sure.
Right.
Chronic pain is often a lifetime as opposed to acute pain or short-term pain.
So. And basically what they're saying is that the risk from such drugs far outweigh the benefits for us. So like the risk of addiction is a lot greater than the benefits you might be getting. So this is something that we will be keeping you posted on. Dan, I believe we have a caller on the line. First thing. Okay. Good morning. Welcome to Health Matters. May I have your first name and where are you calling from?
My name is Ellen, and I'm calling from Toms River, New Jersey.
Oh, hi, Ellen. How are you?
Hi, Ellen.
Thank you for calling. How can we help you?
I'd like to ask your guests a question, Melinda.
Oh, yes.
Sure. How can I help you, Ellen?
I know that you're running some early Alzheimer's social programs, and can you tell me which counties and how that works? You know, is each group different? you know, how it works. I know some people who might be interested.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for asking. We will be talking about this in a few minutes, but it's a good start.
Well, right off the mark, I'm telling you. We
good.
We get out of the
game.
It's the
way to go. Hey, they don't mess around Tom's River, do they? Yeah.
Now,
we're
formerly
from the Jersey Shore, right?
Close to Rockland. I was close to Rockland County.
Oh, you used to live in Rockland County?
No, in Westchester County.
Oh, okay. Westchester. Well, speaking of Westchester, there's an early stage group, which is free in Westchester.
Are they all free?
All of the groups are free. Yeah,
okay.
It's via the Alzheimer's Association of the Hudson Valley, and they recently received a grant from New York State. It's called the New York State CARES Grant. It's basically for the caregivers as well as the loved ones, and so I am like throughout the entire Hudson Valley doing programs, but some of the programs I'm doing are middle stage, but it's for middle stage Alzheimer's and other related dementias. But there is a group in Westchester, and which meets at the Music Conservatory in White Plains.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Okay.
There's an early stage group there. But all these groups meet once a month. There's also an early stage group in Middletown, New York, which actually is meeting this coming Tuesday.
Okay.
All of these you have to RSVP to, but they are all free. There's also going to be an early stage group starting in Putnam County at the Mayapack Library, and that's coming up this month. And
I think summarize that at the end as far as like all the locations, but we really just jumped right out of the box this way.
But you're all over the place.
I am all over the place. I'm doing programs, 9 different programs, and I'm going to 7 different counties throughout the Hudson Valley.
Okay. And what are the 7 counties?
Okay.
You mentioned Rockland, Putnam, Westchester.
Yes, I got to remember these. Here
Orange.
We go. It's Rockland, Putnam, Orange. Thank you for the head start. Sullivan, Ulster, Westchester, and I'm missing one.
Green. Was that too
No,
hard? That's too
not
far
green.
Along.
Duchess?
Duchess.
Duchess.
Thank you. Did you get all those, Ellen?
Well, yeah. So there's one that's, or there's some that are middle stage, but most of them are early stage. And
I think it's half and half.
Half and half, okay. You know, as a music therapist, do you see any difference between what you offer for a group that's early stage versus middle stage?
Yeah. With the middle stage group, I usually have some kind of theme in general, like it's spring now, so I'll do spring songs.
Okay, you'll
you know,
kind of some orientation to
right,
the time.
Or maybe falling in love in the spring, or
right.
Spring fever. That's what we talk about, right?
That's true. I could do that song "Fever" by is that Peggy?
Oh, you could. Peggy Lee.
That's
Peggy
right.
Lee. I didn't think of that. Thank you for inspiring me on that.
Eileen, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate
Ellen.
You listening to Health Matters.
Okay.
Hey, Ellen, we'll talk. Thanks for calling.
Well, I tell you, I didn't even get to do my intro. We did learn more about you. But
these people are into this. You know, it's important.
Today's
topic Thank you for calling.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get my rhythm back now. Okay. today's topic, we're talking about music therapy. Oh, yeah, what appropriate to have your rhythm back and all. And Melinda, you must feel like you're in a gold mine because you're in a radio station with music, all the music that's here, all the different songs and stuff like that. But music is really like so much a part of our culture and our life, and we always enjoyed listening to it. And I used to always say that sometimes you hear a song, and it could really affect your mood about how you may feel very good about it. And I guess it could also work the other way. Let's say you had a relationship, you broke up with someone, and then, hey, that was our song when we were dating, and they're not there.
Exactly.
So it might have the exact opposite effect. But there is something I know, I don't know if you notice our opening song is Feeling All Right. That's by Joe Cocker. That's part of her intro. And I just know when I hear that song, and I know Ann can say this, I just really feel this real upbeat movement. I mean, it's the opening to our show, and I also did it when I was doing Dancing with the Stars for United Hospice. But we don't think about something like this that happens, but you're going to explain that there is some connection. There is some connection when things are happening. But Melinda, before we get started, can you tell us something about yourself, and how did you become a music therapist, and what's involved as far as doing something like that?
Sure. I became a music therapist. I went to college, undergrad. I studied music and dance, and I got out of school, and I was doing a lot of kids' birthday parties. On my business card, it said, "Why sing alone when you can sing along with Melinda?"
Okay.
I was proud of that.
You
piece
can
of
still
copy.
Say that.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. And then I was working at a publishing house for a while, still doing the birthday parties on the side, and I wasn't getting inspired. And in the newspaper, I saw these ads, people looking, do you play guitar? Do you like to work with the elderly? And I thought I could do this. And it was about the same salary I was making at the publishing house. So I was like, I may as well just switch over.
Oh, okay. Good.
So I switched over and I decided I'd go to school for music therapy at that point, even though I had no idea what it was. So
it sounded good.
It sounded like I'm going to switch fields. You know, I'll work with the elderly. Sure, I'll get a master's in this or maybe one semester and see if I like it kind of thing. 6 years later, I gave birth to a music therapy degree. And music therapy is the clinical and evidence-based use of music interventions to accomplish individualized goals within a therapeutic relationship by a credentialed professional. So in other words, my goals would not be to teach you how necessarily how to teach you how to play an instrument.
Yeah, I mean, if someone has a music degree, I know they have that at Purchase and everything, that they have
right,
a music
degree. Right, that's performance kind of oriented,
which
is nothing. There are a lot of music therapists out there who are performers.
Mm-hmm.
A well-renowned music therapist who I know used to play, he played at Princess Diana's wedding.
Oh, boy.
But then he was like, you know, that's like the top of the wedding band, you know, and he was like, he didn't feel anything from doing those. Yeah, exactly. So now he's got a PhD in the field. He's teaching in colleges.
But this is a specific degree and all of certain credits and everything that you have.
Oh, yeah.
And it's licensed by the state of New York. And you're also a creative arts therapist, Melinda?
Right. That's an additional few thousand clinical supervised hours. You know, it's just more and more education about how to work as a music therapist and having some knowledge of the other creative arts therapies.
Okay. You're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we have Melinda Burkhardt here, who is a certified music therapist. And she's going to tell us more about how music therapy is used for patients and things like that. You're listening to Health Matters.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy on WTBQ Radio. Tune in every Thursday at 12 noon for the latest in legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions and issues on WTBQ.
Hi, this is Jim Mazzetti of Miles Wealth Management. Join me and my guests every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. for an hour of the American Dream. And be a part of what made this nation great, right here on WTBQ Radio.
Hey, Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor here. Join me Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. The garage doors go up right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. If you've got a car problem, if your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, call me, 855-560-9900.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome back to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella, the director of A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning, I have my wife, Ann Fella, the regional director of patient services, also at A&T Healthcare. We have Melinda Burkhardt, who is a certified music therapist. I just want to remind everyone that A&T Healthcare, we are a home healthcare agency. And I just recently had, Melinda, I didn't know, but I recently just had a knee replacement. And I had the care from A&T Healthcare where they came to my home. And I just saw my doctor last Thursday, believe it or not. And it was just astounded about how well it is. In fact, I can bend my knee that I just had the knee better than I can on my other knee. So that was something. So it's almost better than my other leg. So I don't know if I want to have that one redone or something like that. But it is an important thing as far as like home care. And that's all part of the thing that we're talking about, the paradigm in the healthcare system is that they want people to be discharged from the hospital. And I was only in the hospital for 2 days. But they discharged me based on the premise that A&T Healthcare was going to be there Saturday morning. And that was the case. So I was able to do that. And I'm feeling, Taylor was asking me about it, and I said, oh, yeah, that's right, my knee. I did have my knee operated.
You're feeling all right.
I'm feeling all right, as the song says. So, but A&T Healthcare, we are a home care agency.
That's great. I mean, I'd like to give a tip, actually, which has nothing to do with what I'm going to be talking about, the Alzheimer's Association, but to people who may be going in to the hospital and having procedures done and they get really, really nervous, you should talk to your doctor about it, but you should bring an iPod with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know right before they put the anesthesia in, Sometimes my arm burns, that kind of thing. Last time that had to happen, yes. I brought my iPod. James Taylor was with me. You could pick whoever you want. And the pain is a lot less. So the anesthesia can be a bit less, and things are just like a lot better that way.
That's
put word out.
Yeah, even expression? You have the dentist music, right? Isn't that the same that you see your dentist?
Well, the dentists know about this. The dentists start. My dentist told me, God bless Dr. McShane right here in Warwick, New York. He told me back in the day, and he learned this in dental school. And Dr. McShane, I don't know if you're listening or not. I better have the story right. It was a while ago. But he told me that back in the day that they'd have people, we're talking the 1800s, people would go around with a bunch of musicians, and right before they were about to pull a tooth, they'd have the band start playing and everything really, really loud, whatever, so that it would be less pain when they worked
just
it.
Just a distraction, a diversion. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember going to the dentist as a kid, and they'd have that elevator music on.
Elevator
and I hate it.
Well, that's not helpful.
That was not helpful.
You want
me.
your music.
I wanted my music.
That's why you need the iPod.
So now my dentist has headphones that you can wear and listen to music or watch TV or whatever, but it was a little bit...
Anything for diversion.
I was about to go under, and I didn't know how to work the iPod, and so my doctor was helping get the iPod.
Oh, boy, that's good.
And then as I was on my way down, I heard him say, enough, I want my music.
Enough with that.
So he works, right. He works with music also.
That's right.
Anyway.
Anyhow. So we're really here today to talk a little bit about... how music helps the person with Alzheimer's disease. So tell us a little bit about the history of the music social programs with the Alzheimer's Association in the Hudson Valley and about this grant now that they've
had. Well, first I'm going to give you a few facts about the Alzheimer's disease. Every 66 seconds, that's a little over a minute, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's. And by mid-century, someone in the United States is going to develop the disease every 33 seconds.
I wonder why they think that.
Well, probably the baby boomers.
Okay.
Nearly half, 48%, maybe you guys could talk about this, of family and friends of people with Alzheimer's are jeopardizing their financial stability to afford dementia-related expenses. And for some, this means drawing from savings or retirement funds. And for others, this means sacrificing basic needs such as food, transportation, and medical care. And nearly 2 out of 3 people incorrectly believe that Medicare helps pay for nursing home care or were unsure whether it did, leaving many families unprepared for personal financial impact. Yeah, so you must know about that.
Yes.
We know that Medicare, doesn't cover a majority of reasons for being in a nursing home or having home care. So it is very specific.
Right. So New York State decided, Governor Cuomo, he decided that he wanted to put a lot of money toward Alzheimer's research, and especially with caregivers, and he came up with this CARE grant, and a lot of people applied for it in New York State, and 6 people got the CARE grant. And one of the organizations that got the CARE grant, in fact, the only Alzheimer's Association organization, was right here in the Hudson Valley.
Wow.
It's a $5 million grant that mm-hmm. came through in January. I got to say, the people at the Alzheimer's Association work day and night on this.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Day and night. A lot of very technical things to write there. You know, just anyway, so they got it, which was amazing. So the Music Social Program, maybe like 8 or 9 years ago when I first started getting involved with the Alzheimer's Association locally here in Orange County, was they met twice a year at like a bakery in Goshen, that really nice bakery, I forgot what it's called, but they met there and that was it. And I'd play a little bit and we'd eat cookies, that kind of thing. And then I said to the program administrator at the time, I said to the woman, Janet Severtson, who still works there, said...
And we had her on the show.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Great lady.
It was a great show.
Yeah, I'm sure. She's great. Her and Donna Davies, who's the care consultant. Mm-hmm. You know Donna also?
I speak
also.
To her also, yes.
Those are, when I look at the founders that mm-hmm. helped the music social programs happen, I look at those two. Mm-hmm. And the immediate founders. I said to them, I said, what if I got a bunch of my friends together and did a fundraiser, a music fundraiser, and we'd start a music social program? And they were like, go ahead, do that. So apparently it's called the Burgard Fund now, which I
think. Okay.
Who knew? And in the past 6 years, we've done fundraising, and I've my friends from camp and college and as well as local people, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. So anyway, so that enabled in our county to have two music social programs. Originally, one was in Vales Gate, but now it's in Goshen and actually at the Warwick Library.
Oh.
At Albert right. Wiesner mm-hmm. Library here.
That's great.
Yeah, so, and both of those are middle stage programs.
Okay.
Then,
well, now tell our audience a little, what is middle stage?
I'm not allowed to diagnose, so
okay.
I can't fully say.
So,
but basically, someone with middle stage needs to have someone with them,
okay.
their caregiver with them. Sometimes they get confused where they are.
Okay.
Sometimes they might be walking around the room a lot, just like nervously.
Okay, so it's a middle stage diagnosis.
Because I know, like, even the first stage, it is very insidious, Alzheimer's. Like, a lot of times, the first stage, people say, oh, well, it's just a senior moment. Or they start like ignoring it. Oh, it's just this, it's just that. And they don't realize that something's happened. Then it goes to the next stage, what you're talking about.
Right.
I just know it's very hard. Like, you know, I said, I'm forgetting this, I'm forgetting that. And,
yeah.
And then you realize it is a little bit more than that.
Yeah, yeah. I always look at it like going backwards developmentally.
Mm.
That's how I look mm-hmm. at it. They forget to go to the bathroom. That mm-hmm. sometimes,
forgetting to
you know,
eat.
Forgetting to eat.
Forgetting where you are.
Right, or forgetting how much they just ate.
Yes.
I didn't have
that
a cookie.
That can be a problem. That's right. I never saw a cookie. What are you talking
right.
about?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and that's always one of the things that I do teach. And we do have, like, you know, specialists coming in with Alzheimer's, that a lot of times what they say when caring for someone is that you don't argue with them. You don't argue. You don't say no, because they have to understand if they say, gee, can I have a cup of coffee? You can't turn around and say, well, you just had a cup of coffee, because they have to understand. This is what I'm saying. When they have to understand, it's the caregiver has to understand that the part of the brain that registers, like, I know I'm drinking water right now, and that's registered, but someone with dementia and Alzheimer's, that part of the brain is not functioning, so they don't know that they've drank anything, so that's why they'd ask again. So as much as you try to prove them, here, this is your cup, this is it, this is it,
right.
they're not going to believe it. Just say, okay, here's some more to do, like that. Just avoid never saying the word no, and that's really how, in that context, that it's not registering. They don't, that part of the brain is not functioning in that capacity.
And it's it's interesting that you bring that up, because there was some research recently in Finland, and there's research throughout the world.
There's a lot of research.
There's a lot of research, which is great. But they did research using an MRI, and what they found, what the old school of thought used to be, is that music is on the right side of the brain, and that the left side of the brain is more verbal, more math, like, yes, I know I'm drinking mm-hmm. this bottle of water, that kind of thing. What the research found is when music was played, that both sides of the brain lit up. In fact, a whole bunch of like almost every neural connection in the brain lit up.
Wow.
So the music can bring you back. So if you say, no, you just had a cup of coffee, oh, yeah, maybe I just did have a cup of coffee. You know, and it's not long-lasting, but it does last for a mm-hmm. short while.
Right.
There have been,
I
saw some other research a number of years ago where it was like of great use right before, and this might be great for the home care people too, right before they went to a doctor. There were the people who go in, you have Alzheimer's, it's like you can't really explain what's wrong with you or whatever, but then they had a music therapist working with them for a couple of minutes before they went into the doctor. So their brain was more lit up, so then you would get more information out of the patient when they went in to see the doctor.
Now, Anne, I remember...
It's pretty amazing, actually,
yeah.
that it can kind of give you some clarity.
Yeah.
For a short period of time.
But it's amazing how a lot of places aren't recognizing it.
Right. Well,
but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Things take time.
Right. No, I know, like, Anne, your experience working at the county with the Alzheimer's unit, I know I was involved in the early stages, but there was always music that was playing, and it was the DVDs, and it was Sing Along with Mitch. Who was the other guy that had all the...
Lawrence Welk,
that's right, Lawrence Welk. Those were the ones that were doing...
Those are reminiscent,
and they could always like relate to the songs and things like that, and that was always like a part of it. Mm-hmm. And this, we'll go back like almost...
Music was a big
like
part
years.
Of the development of the unit that we started.
Which is definitely important, but sometimes if you're playing that same tape over and over again, someone might be in a bad mood, whereas a song that they loved for the past 3 weeks suddenly is like irritating the heck out of them. And that's why a live music therapist is always the best.
You can always change like that. You're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we'll continue to talk more about music therapy and how it can be utilized in initiating care for a patient. Listen to Health Matters.
ANT Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home healthcare aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. ANT Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. ANT Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric, high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. ANT Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, ANT Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
This is Walt Baby Love. I'd like you to join me for Gospel Tracks Sunday on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. That's Gospel Tracks every Sunday at 6 a.m. for praise and worship with yours truly, Walt Baby Love.
Hi, this is Mary Ulrich with Cornell Cooperative Extension in Orange County, inviting you to join me and your Orange County farmers on Farm Talk every Wednesday at 12 noon, where you will learn everything agriculture on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ Weather.
We have mostly sunny skies coming in today with a high near 70. It'll be windy, though, later on. Tonight, clouding up with showers arriving around midnight. Periods of rain overnight. It'll be heading down into the middle 40s to near 50. Tomorrow, look for periods of rain and a thunderstorm, mainly in the morning. The high should reach in the low 70s. Showers tomorrow night will end. There could be a thunderstorm as well, then mostly cloudy. Heading into the upper 40s and Saturday, a chance of showers. It'll be windy in the mid 50s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ, feeling all right.
Welcome back to Health Matters, feeling all right. Doing all right. Oh, I love that Joe Cocker song. I always love it. It's so much a part of my DNA, I want to say that. but it's like we were talking. My name is Peter Fellow. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And I have my wife, Ann Fellow, the Regional Director of Patient Care Services, also at A&T Healthcare. And we're talking about music therapy with Melinda Burkhart, who is a certified music therapist. And we're talking about all the things, the wonderful things that music can do for us and how it can make us feel better.
That's right. So, yeah, maybe we can get back on track a little bit and get back to talking about the grant and the music social programs that you're doing now. In the beginning, we talked a little bit about the counties that you're covering, so you're really all over.
I'm all over. Let me tell you something. The Hudson Valley is beautiful.
Isn't it though? I love
Orange County. We love the drive.
I love driving around.
It's amazing.
The Hudson Valley.
What a wonderful county.
It's over a year now. We've been doing the show, so we've seen all the seasons.
Well, all of Orange, but just driving up in Dutchess, up that way.
It's wonderful. Right now.
Ulster.
Yeah, I have this new title now, which I'm so excited about. Now I'm the administrator/consultant for the music social programs for the Alzheimer's Association of the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I barely said that. Exactly. But basically what I did is I set up the programs. I went to each county and found a venue that they were all very generous and allowed them to use their space to start our programs. So, and hopefully we'll be able to get more programs to people who weren't able to get programs. Mm-hmm. And even in a place like Sullivan County where it's a little tougher to find programs, we're hopeful that people will come out and learn about our programs.
That's great.
The early stage program, I am focusing mainly on, I'm starting the discussion with the group about the history of music in the Hudson Valley. Mm-hmm. Just a general thing.
Oh, okay.
And so each week I have a certain topic in mind. It might be Woodstock. It might be Pete Seeger.
Right.
I mean, it's apparently all the musicians from New York City eventually land in the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
That often happens,
right.
You know. So, in fact, I have a bunch of names.
And we're relating to a different era. You talked about Mitch Miller and
Lawrence Welk.
Mitch Miller used to live in the Hudson Valley.
As a matter of fact, he lived in
New City, I think.
Was it? Okay, yeah. Yes,
he lived
yes,
in
that's
Rockland.
Right. Yes,
yeah,
that's
we
right.
live
that's
in
right.
New City. That's
yeah,
you know,
there's
that.
There's
yes.
people from
you're
around.
Absolutely
that's
right.
Rockland's got a few people. Bruce Springsteen made his album Born to Run in Rockland.
He used to play, actually, in Rockland when I was in college, yeah.
Okay, yeah, there's...
Yes, Hudson Valley is growing or at least encouraging good music.
Oh, there's a lot going on around here. And I'm meeting interesting people in each different county, which is really nice. So I have all these venues. So we're talking about different things. We're going to talk about Woodstock's right here.
Woodstock
was supposed to happen in Orange, but it happened in Sullivan?
Bethel Woods.
Right, in Sullivan.
Is it Green? It's Ulster Green County.
Is it?
Where are my Ulster people? We actually have
patients.
Hello, Ulster. We do take care of people in Woodstock, so I would say it's Ulster County.
And that's what's important.
Maybe
Green. It's interesting, like, when we talk about it, is that, you know, when we're caring for patients at A&T Healthcare, that's usually one of the things that, you know, is there any kind of particular music that they like or what they want to, you know, listen to? And that's always something as far as, like, customizing, you know, things that they would enjoy. It was very interesting when you said about that study up in Finland where they played the music and that the reactions to both sides of the brain were manifesting itself. Is it somewhat connected? I know I always joke about this, but have you ever been driving and you hear a song and then you say, oh, wait a second, I remember when we went on that trip to Florida.
Yeah, it brings
Fort
you
Lord.
Back
it
there in
back
that second.
Wait, that's where,
it's like,
and you associate it with something. Mm-hmm. How does that phenomenon work? So there is something to it. There's a reason.
Is that something that you do, though? Do you try to trigger memories?
That is something that I do. I mean, it probably goes, the music probably lights up the memory part of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and like I said, if everything's all lit up,
And you don't know it. Like, I'll give you an example. If you're going on vacation, you might be listening to vacation to music the whole time on your vacation, and then for some reason, one song may resonate. Oh, that's when I associate that particular, whether you were driving in the car or something like that, that you can associate it with it. But it is like really hardwired to your brain. Like, that's something that we...
Yes, and it's creativity is something that doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And even hearing the music, even as someone's about to pass, they're still able to hear the music. Mm-hmm. I was singing to someone who I was... actually, it was a home care situation. I was at someone's home, and I was singing to her, and she maybe passed 3 hours after that. And I heard her hum a few phrases, not a few phrases, a few notes of the melody back to me that I was humming to her.
Oh, really? And she was at the end.
She was able to, receive it and bring it back to me.
You know, we always teach that in our classes, is that the hearing is your last sense that you leave, and that when you're ever caring for someone that's at the end stage of their lives, like, you talk to them like they're there, like, hi, I'm going to do this. You always let them know about that, because that's what they're hearing. They may not be able to verbalize what they're feeling or anything like that, but you always talk to them. But that's the last sense that you have, and I teach that all the time.
So I'm going back to the subject.
Yes, I was thinking that, getting back. I know.
In your music social program, do you sing songs that are familiar to people, or do you...
I do sing songs.
How do you incorporate music?
Yeah, I do sing songs that are familiar to people. Mm-hmm. In the early stage groups, we have a little bit of discussion about it. Mm-hmm. But in the middle stage, I try to find out what kind of music they like or how old they were. Because in general, the songs you liked in your adolescence is what you enjoy. But I sometimes, we'll get up and dance to some, might sing a really old song, but we might get up and dance to something more recent that they still might be familiar with.
Oh, I want to mention that, because, we were talking about when we opened the Alzheimer's unit, which was one of the first units specifically for Alzheimer's patients in a nursing home. And it's 20 years ago. But we would play Mitch Miller, Lawrence Welk. Mm-hmm. But we would also play some current music, current rap music, rock music, pop music. And let me tell you, that worked or was just as good as some of those songs as well. As the old songs. Yes, the old songs are reminiscent, but the beat of, newer music, and it just is awakening sometimes.
I would think it would depend upon your goal.
Right, like if we wanted to get people moving.
Right, then anything with a really good beat is really going to get that.
It didn't matter what kind of music it was, and they enjoyed that, and we enjoyed it. We enjoyed bringing that into it as well, so...
That's great. I'm sitting here with a pioneer.
And, of course, rhythm was very important. And we're not talking about drumming and things like that, but something else that we...
At these groups, there's definitely... You can use instruments. Mm-hmm. We sing. We play instruments. We also... I have an iPad with me and a speaker about 4 inches high.
Okay.
Which is awesome.
It's so awesome. You're so right.
And, that's recent. I've been carrying, the CD player with me.
That's gone.
That's gone. I moved on.
You gotta get on iTunes.
But what's important for everybody out there to know is that if they're interested in registering for any of the groups or finding out any information more about the grant, because a lot of programs came out of that grant, not just the music social programs, please call the Alzheimer's Association of the Hudson Valley at 1-800-272-3900. That's 1-800-272-3900. Ask about the music social programs, or ask about what else you can find out. What are the new programs that are expanding? Also, I'm looking for volunteers.
I was just going to say that.
Volunteers,
For volunteers to help me with some of the groups. I do have some volunteers, but I'm also looking for a volunteer right now in nearby Goshen. Okay. I'm looking in Ulster County. I'm looking in Sullivan County. I'm looking for a little bit of time in Warwick. Okay. And everybody else is good.
Good.
Duchess.
Okay. Good to know. And are there any specific qualifications a volunteer would need?
They need to be enthusiastic about music in general.
Okay.
They do.
Sign me up.
Hey, listen, that would be awesome.
Bring your guitar.
That's we'll talk after we're off air. What the qualifications are, enthusiastic about music, you don't have to know how to play an instrument.
Okay. That's good for people to know, because I don't know how to play
an instrument. But I need someone with good administrative skills, like so you can check off the person who's there and their address and write a name tag out for them, and to help carry my instruments and to serve refreshments.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, and someone who cares.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ian.
I was going to ask you for the program. Is there a fee?
There is no fee whatsoever. You can thank Governor Cuomo for that. There's
great.
A lot of things I know people don't want to thank him for, but this is something to give him a huge applaud for.
Very good.
Yeah, this is, and it's a 5-year grant.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, and hopefully it will continue to expand and will reach more and more people.
Absolutely.
If you know anyone who is in need of this kind of program, please have them call 1-800-272-3900. Please.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the things, with Governor Cuomo is that, you know, with the Alzheimer's, it's such a daunting project in the sense that more and more people are becoming afflicted by it. Like, you see all the statistics. I know the largest segment that's growing population is like the 85 and older. And as you say, and I always like stress this whenever we start talking about Alzheimer's disease, is that is not considered a normal part of aging, just like depression. You know, there may be a percentage of people that may have been afflicted with it, but it's not considered the normal part of aging.
Right.
You can't say, well, gee, when I get to be this, I'm going to have so-and-so. No, it's not considered normal. Are there some people that are afflicted? Is there a percentage that are afflicted? Absolutely. But it's not considered normal. And I always try to stress that to everyone. I know there were a lot of things we talked about. You're maintaining a healthy lifestyle. A lot of times those are things that can, you know, prevent it, particularly as far as like, you know, exercising, eating healthy, even as far as like stimulating your brain. Those are all examples of how
learning something
new. Yes, learning. I learned how to dance. That's right.
Who knew?
I learned something new. But those are all like the different benefits that can happen. And I know it's a very upsetting thing as far as like with Alzheimer's that you have someone that, it must be very frustrating and stuff that here they have these wonderful lives and now they're having so much trouble just to do simple day-to-day activities.
Not only
take for granted.
Well, not only frustrating for them, but frustrating for the caregivers.
Absolutely.
And hence the care grant, because the caregivers often get really, really burnt out. Mm-hmm. And that can lead to them, actually. It could lead to a mortality issue with them. I've seen it happen.
Absolutely, because the caregiver needs to take care of themselves. And we've talked about that
many times
on many of our different topics. It is so important. And I know even myself taking care of Peter
after surgery. Thank you for that. I'm still thankful that you helped me.
But I did feel myself getting a little stressed out from time to time. Like, well, this is really, if I had to do this all the time, this is really difficult. So,
and you're a nurse.
And I'm a nurse, which even probably makes it even worse because
it's probably easier to deal with someone else than a family member.
It is always, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we'll give some tips on the caregivers of caring for someone with Alzheimer's disease. Listen to Health Matters.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of them their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Ron and Amy and the Car Doctor right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. Sunday mornings, 8 a.m., 855-560-9900 is the Car Doctor hotline. Give me a call. Let's solve that problem together.
Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
All right, and welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fell, the Regional Director of Patient Care Services, also at A&T Healthcare. And we're having a wonderful discussion with Melinda Burkhardt, a certified music therapist. And we're talking about how it is used in the different settings as far as like caring for individuals with Alzheimer's. One of the things that we, Ann had touched on before we went to our break was you were talking about that so often caring for someone that's afflicted with Alzheimer's disease is that many times people think, well, this goes with the turf that I'm not supposed to eat well, I'm not supposed to sleep well, I'm supposed to do everything, and they don't realize that by doing that, they're harming themselves, and if they're harmed, then they're not going to be able to care for their person. But I thought at this time, Melinda, could you give us some caregivers' tips that people might be able to listen to themselves as far as like what they should do as far as like caring for someone that may
have. Well, first of all, I think they should come to the music social programs.
Okay.
Because not only are the music social programs good for your loved one, but you're going to see the healthy side of your loved one at those groups. Mm. And you're going to start feeling better too, and you're going to get support from other people.
And I think that's so
important. That's the whole point of the whole thing.
You're not alone. That's part of what's so
you don't want to be isolated. Yeah.
It becomes like a little mini family of support.
Yep, absolutely.
That's right. No, that's what it is. You're not alone, and people may be having like the same difficulties that you're having, and that's always very therapeutic. I do know that.
One woman takes the time. She sits at the other end of the table, and her husband sits at the other end.
She has a break.
She has a break, but at the same time, she has support also. And I also want to mention that these groups are not just for people with Alzheimer's. They're for any related dementia also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway, caregiver tips. Okay, when verbal communications fail, using familiar songs can help soothe and take the edge out of difficult moments.
Okay, so then you should know what music they liked and what they listened to.
Or what touches them.
What touches them and what touches them at that moment. Mm-hmm. It might be a different thing in other time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if you're trying to get them to eat and they're not in the mood to eat, a song definitely could get that going. Mm-hmm. I always used to do the song, "The prettiest girl I ever saw was sipping whatever they're sipping through a straw."
Oh, whatever works. That's an old song. Yeah,
hey, listen, I've been around a while.
Yeah, I remember that.
Playing soft music can also help create a calm environment, ease sundowners.
Yes.
Sometimes, again, they may want to dance at that moment.
Right.
Sometimes that helps get the energy out.
Do you want to talk about what sundowning is? I mean, I understand for...
Sundowning is around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, mm-hmm. and everyone starts getting really agitated.
Restless.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And that's why a lot of times you have to, a lot of times I know when caring for someone, you have to know what their schedule was. If they were a night watchman or something like that.
So sometimes at that time is a good time to either have something calming or something as a release, whether it's going for a walk. You could listen to some upbeat music and maybe dance.
Right, or it could be definitely doing active activities versus mm-hmm. just turning the radio on and leaving the room.
Mm-hmm. Right. There is an interaction.
Interaction's really, really important.
Very important. Or to have that, which we are like that on Friday night. We put on quiet.
Yes.
Instrumental music.
No heavy metal or anything like that.
No heavy rock. That's a different time. But that helps us relax, you know, at the end of the work week. So,
yeah.
You know, those are the kind of things that you can do either. And you have, it's sometimes it's hit and miss.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's upbeat and sometimes it should be a calmer music.
So. Well, it's interesting because a lot of the music socials, some of them are in the morning, but the majority of them are in the afternoon.
Okay.
They're like mm-hmm. around from 2 to 3:30. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
So it does hit that
it
time
hits
period.
Bewitching hour, mm-hmm. as I call it. let's see. Try playing soft music in the background during bathing to create a calming and relaxing atmosphere.
Yeah, because you have to remember, that, and that's true, that sometimes is hard, like even with the showers, when you turn on the noise and that, and they, a lot of times they may forget if you say, let's take a shower, they might not understand it, but if you turn on the water, then they will. But it can be a little intimidating, the shower, with the noise that it's making, the water. And
I would start singing
around.
In the rain. I'm okay. singing in the rain. You know, you got to find something that hits them. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the right way. Singing a familiar song together can offer a welcome distraction and help a person snap out of a repetitive action or behavior.
Right, right. So yeah. that aggression might change because there's all of a sudden that interaction.
I mean, sometimes, yeah, sometimes when I'm talking to someone and they start losing their speech and they're like, I will just like look at them because I know that they're somewhat aware that they're losing their speech and I'll say, easy for you to say. And we'll both start laughing. You know, you have to kind of break it up,
yeah.
really. And think ahead, make playlists of different kinds of songs for different kinds of moods.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a lot of apps available for sing-alongs, that kind of thing, and especially designed for people with memory loss. And make sure that the songs you select do not bring up bad memories and are not connected to sad events of the past.
Right. It could have been the loved one's favorite song. They may
and,
not be there. You're right.
And that might be something you might learn by doing, too.
Right.
Whoops,
you might not
shouldn't
know
have gone there.
Make a note that. Note that to yourself to not avoid again. That.
Didn't
in the
Olivia
future.
Newton-John have a song about that? Like, please don't play this song. It was our song or something
was
like that.
Was it Olivia?
Yes, there was.
Olivia Newton-John. You know, we're talking now, and this is fascinating. We have to. This is one of the things that you know we're training our. We do care for a extended number of individuals that are afflicted with Alzheimer's disease, and it's always good that we're finding this new information on how best to serve. Are patients that have the disease. And one of the things that I've always stressed is that if something is not working, you have to do something differently. And I'll use the example of music, is that if there's a certain music that they don't like, if you keep playing it, they're still not going to like it. You really have to find out
really?
what music they do like.
Yeah, don't say, like this. Come on, this is fun.
Come on, this is a good one.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
say, gee, the voice gets agitated every time I do this, or I say, let's go take the shower now. And well, if you're not doing anything different, of course they're still going to do it. And that's one of the things that, and it is involved, like care for someone with Alzheimer's disease, just in the sense that everyone is unique. I always like to say, if you see mm-hmm. one Alzheimer's patient, you've seen one Alzheimer's patient. And some kind of therapy that may work on one patient so well might have the total opposite effect on another patient.
Right.
That's all part.
Well,
where
the other downside
the care
is it
in.
Might work today, but
right.
it might not work tomorrow,
or it might not work in 2 minutes.
Right. So you have to remember that it's not you.
Yeah.
It's the time. It's just the way the events are going that day. So it's hard for the caregiver because it can be frustrating.
And there are caregiver support groups through the Alzheimer's mm-hmm. Association also. And please try them. I know some people don't want to try them. Mm-hmm. Put your foot out there. Dip your toe in that. If it's not for you, there are different support groups. Mm-hmm. Every group is a different
right.
kind of group.
Right.
So... I just want to...
Yeah, let's
wrap
it up.
Let's wrap it up. Looking at the time, but just like
give
wrap up, it up.
And... Give some information.
Okay. If you're interested in joining us for any of these free groups in any of the counties in the Hudson Valley, please call 1-800-272-3900 and ask about the music social groups or ask how they can help you cope with what's going on.
Absolutely. And don't forget, there's one right here in Warwick. When is that coming up? Do you know?
Yes, I do. The Warwick group is coming up April 15th. It's at 1:30 at the Warwick Library. But again, you have to call the 1-800 number to register.
Okay.
And there's one coming up on Tuesday, April 5th, this next Tuesday.
Okay. Well, Melinda, thank you so much. Really, thank you so much. I don't know where the time goes, but really, we have so much stuff. But listen, we may want to have you back on again if you're available, Melinda. That would be great.
I know you're all over the
all over the
Hudson
place.
Valley.
I'll meet you in Ulster County.
That's right.
And it's so good. Well, we're out of time. We want to thank everyone for joining us this morning on Health Matters. And as I always say, stay healthy. Why? Because your health matters, and to you, your family, and friends, we wish you all the best. See you next week, and have a good one. Bye-bye now. You feel it?